This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore! Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass. This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter, and on Instagram at MichaelRitter5, also the host of the Football Function Podcast, which is in full swing, mid-season form, literally, I guess you could say, being that we're almost halfway done with the regular season. But with all that being said, we're here to talk about SmackDown. So, I mean, you should know, you know, why you're here by now, but if you are a first-time listener, this show is going to be talking about the SmackDown that aired on October 29th, 2021. There is a show on this podcast network for basically any wrestling show that you're into. Maybe not the, you know, the independent scene and all that stuff, New Japan. We can't cover you there, but when you're talking about WWE, we do have a SmackDown show. We have a Raw show, an NXT show, and then AEW, we have an AEW show, which is going on right now as well. Speaking of that, shout out to Crisis for filling in, who is a longtime listener of the show and a contributor on the mailbag. He actually, you know, decided to get in on the action a little bit, I guess, if you want to say that. He recorded the AEW review last week. I thought it was a damn good job. It was entertaining as hell. And it really kind of painted a picture for me. I'm not familiar with that product. I watch it when I can. I've definitely seen an episode here or there. But, you know, that's for the most part, I rely on the AEW review to, you know, keep me updated from things that I don't see on the internet. But so we do have that podcast. We also have a mailbag show, which is probably the most fan favorite, I guess you can say, because I mean, the fans get involved, and by fans, I mean, listeners, if you want to call it that. Listeners get involved because they're able to call in, leave voicemails, leave emails, and have their questions or their voice heard on the show and read on the show. So it's an entertaining episode every week. You have some repeated guests who like to show up and, you know, put their input on the week, let you know. I mean, at this point, it's almost weird whenever you don't hear like both Kyles, whenever you don't hear Justin from Maryland, whenever you don't hear Casual Wrestling Fan. There's many, many others. So shout out to you if you contribute to that on a weekly basis. It's definitely a nice fun thing to look forward to every week here on the WWE Podcast. But another show that is new here on the network, I guess if you want to call it that, WWE Podcast, is The News Brief with Amanda Jin. Now, this is a segment or a show that has kind of been floated around here. It's kind of made an appearance. Matt's done it whenever he can, whenever news presents itself. It's kind of just been like a thing without a name, you know, like, because there's been several times where Matt's come on and he's just announced like a breaking news type thing. Like, I remember whenever Roman Reigns turned heel, he was actually on vacation and he had to like make like an emergency episode where he broke news pretty much, you know, he had to give his thoughts on it. That's pretty much what Amanda Jin is doing there. And it is a perfect fit. She has a passion for wrestling. She's knowledgeable. She honestly kind of comes from the same like background as me in terms of like starting with WCW and then working your way through like WWE and just having a passion for it. So shout out to her. She definitely gives feedback on social media. She contributes to the Discord chat as well. And she's credible. That's number one. She doesn't just, you know, pull these things out of thin air. Anything she talks about on that News Brief show, she's going to provide like a source or the article that she's getting it from. And it's normally a pretty hot topic. So, you know, it's not like a rumor she's making up. She's just commenting on it, giving her thoughts. And they're entertaining. She's already dropped a couple so far. She's done a really good job. So shout out to Amanda Jin. Looking forward to hearing those episodes continue as we continue here in the WWE year. Because, I mean, we're getting close to the end. But, you know, news never stops. There's always going to be news happening, things that you don't really expect. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. But anyways, let's talk about this SmackDown. This SmackDown was from Wilkesboro, Pennsylvania. And this was one that I actually had to look up. This is, you guys know, whenever they go to a small market, they really don't say where they are. They don't want to advertise, hey, we're in a small town or something like that. Like, if they're in Pennsylvania, they would much rather say we're in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, something like that. But they were not there. So, I mean, they didn't tell you. So shout out to Pat McAfee, because he's actually the one who I went to his social media to find out where they were. But on this SmackDown, it starts off with Charlotte Flair. And one thing that I noticed here, because I was kind of, it was on my mind as I was starting to watch the beginning of the show. Because you guys all know how Matt's made it pretty well known that he's not a fan of how they welcome you to Monday Night Raw every single week. I wonder why they don't do that on SmackDown. I'm not complaining by any means. I hope they continue to not do it. But I wonder why it's only done on Monday night for Raw. And hopefully I didn't jinx it. So now they're probably going to start saying it every week. But just something that I paid attention to. And if you guys have noticed that too, or if maybe you've noticed where they have said it and I just missed it, definitely let me know. But for some reason, I can't remember a time where, you know, they just routinely open the show and say, hey, welcome to this show. Because, I mean, typically Roman Reigns is the one opening SmackDown. And he's not just going to welcome you to SmackDown, obviously. I mean, he can care less, but he's just there to do his thing. So I did just kind of want to point that out before I really got into anything that happened here on the show. And the show actually opened with Charlotte Flair. She comes to the ring in Thanos gear. Now, I don't want to speculate or, you know, think anything of it. I just thought it was kind of funny, maybe a funny coincidence that she chose that gear to wear specifically, because, I mean, if you're familiar with Marvel and who Thanos is, like, as a character in that universe, it's kind of, you know, spot on to, like, how she might be perceived amongst the locker room backstage, or just women in the company in general, or anybody in the company. I mean, she claimed that she not only is the face of the division, she's the face of the entire company. She was very specific with that, which I think is just flat out wrong. I mean, some people might think that she is, but I mean, those are the people you might not want to trust their opinion that much, if that's what they're saying, because Roman Reigns is clearly the face of the company right now. I mean, let's be honest, this isn't even like a subjective thing. I think it's very clear that Roman Reigns is the top wrestler right now in WWE. I mean, it's no knock on Charlotte. She's without a doubt number two. And I mean, you're not going to expect her to just say, hey, I'm the second to the face of the organization or of this entire company. So yeah, I totally understand why she said that, but I just wanted to, you know, kind of go on record and say that that's not the case. Roman Reigns is without a doubt the face of WWE. But in this segment or in this promo, and Charlotte's like must watch TV right now, I will say, just given how often things kind of just go off script and they're just so off the walls, and having her on SmackDown has been entertaining as hell. So shout out to Charlotte for, you know, really bringing the juice. But in this promo, she basically just starts taking shots at all of the other women on the roster. Not necessarily specifically taking shots at them, but just general as a whole. She's taking shots at the entire division. She says that whenever they win a title, like when anybody else wins a championship here in WWE, any other woman, it's like the Super Bowl to them. Like, it's like the greatest thing that ever happened. It's WrestleMania worthy, you know, it's just absolutely the bee's knees. So, and whenever Charlotte Flair wins a championship, it's just another Friday, quote unquote. That's what she said. Now, about that, I wish she would have said it's just another day at the office, or it's just another regular day, something like that. Because, I mean, how many championships has she really won on Fridays? I'm not going to look that up. If you want to look it up, you can, but I don't feel like she's won that many championships on SmackDown. I know she did have a run there, but does that mean that they were giving out matches on free TV as much that time? I feel like that's really picked up over the past couple of years, and over the past couple of years, she's been on Raw. So I just kind of feel like, I get it, you're on SmackDown now, so just a regular Friday night, you're in the moment, but I just think it would have been a little bit more impactful of a promo, just a little small tweak right there, just something that I kind of noticed, because right away it jumped out to me. As somebody who covers SmackDown, obviously, and watches SmackDown on a weekly basis, that just jumped out. Like, wait, what are you talking about? Just another regular Friday night. I mean, how many matches have you won? How many championship matches, should I say, have you won on Fridays? But Sasha Banks ends up coming out, and the two go back and forth about why Banks does or doesn't deserve an opportunity at the SmackDown Women's Championship. And Charlotte makes it clear that she doesn't think that she deserves that opportunity, but Shotzi Blackheart actually comes out, and she throws her name into the hat for a match, and Charlotte accepts almost instantly. So I don't know if it was like to piss Sasha Banks off, or if it was just to put over Shotzi that she thought she was worthy of the championship match. I don't really know. It's hard to gauge what exactly Charlotte's motives are whenever she makes these decisions. She's a very interesting character right now, to say the least. So definitely someone to keep your eye on. I mean, if you're paying attention to the news brief, like I mentioned a little bit earlier with Amanda Jin, she referenced some things about Charlotte that kind of I mean, they make sense. I don't know if you know how true it would be if Charlotte did like want to get out of WWE, because that's definitely like something that's kind of been tossed around lately. Like, is she trying to get her contract ended with WWE? Is that why she's acting like this, doing all this stuff backstage? I mean, and it kind of makes sense, honestly. I don't want to like make this like dumb it down to like a high school level, and I'm not trying to like offend anybody at all, but have you ever seen a situation in your life, and it doesn't even have to be in your life, but just somebody you know, maybe you saw from afar, where like they get in a relationship with somebody, like maybe it's a girl, we'll use a girl for example, where she gets in a relationship with a guy and she like basically just like cuts all of her friends out. She doesn't have like a social life with her friends anymore. She doesn't communicate with them. Basically her life revolves around her relationship. And it's not really about like the relationship itself. The only reason why I'm using this analogy is because Charlotte Flair is without a doubt like crazy, crazy in love with Andrade Cien Almas or Andrade El Idolo over in AEW. No secret. If you follow him on social media, things like that, it's clear. I mean, she absolutely loves him. So, I mean, they're in a very, very serious relationship, engaged. So they're likely going to, you know, stay together forever. I mean, that's the goal. Whenever you get married, I'm not married, but when you get married, that's usually the goal, is it not, you know, to stay together forever. So, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte was just saying, screw it. I mean, I want to get over there and be with my husband, my soon-to-be husband. And it doesn't necessarily mean that she wants to strictly go to AEW to be with him, but maybe she doesn't want to be in WWE because of, you know, I mean, if you watch it wasn't the Broken Skull Sessions. It was like Stone Cold's actual TV show, the Straight Up Steve Austin that was on USA Network. She was a guest on that show. And she talked about it. She says, look, I didn't start this when I was 22 years old. You know, she feels like she mentioned that she feels kind of robbed of like a long time, like because she knows that she's not going to be able to do this as long as some of the other women are. Hence why they're, you know, really jamming a lot of championship reigns into her somewhat short career that she's had so far. I mean, she's only been on the main roster for what, like 5 or 6 years, and she's already in double digit championships. I mean, you do the math. Obviously, having two championships makes it a lot easier to do something like that, because there's not just simply one champion like there was back in the day whenever it was Trish, Lita, Chyna, Victoria, you know, women from those eras. So it's really easy to stack championships like that in a short period of time. And Charlotte said, I mean, she does want to have a family someday. You know, she does want to do all that stuff. Becky Lynch just did it. So, I mean, I'm not, and the only reason why I use that, and that high school analogy might have been, you know, a pretty bad one. I don't even honestly know why I went that direction, but I mean, I feel like that was a way to kind of paint the picture and make maybe be a little bit relatable, because there have been instances where, you know, like one of your friends gets in a relationship and you don't hear from them for a pretty long time, you know, because that's just what their mind and everything that they're thinking about is just about that, what they're focused on right now. And who knows? I mean, she's a grown woman. They're not high school kids, so I don't want to make it seem like they're, you know, comparing strictly apples to apples, but you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, there's nobody in WWE. Her dad's not even there anymore. Like, there's nobody in WWE that is, like, more important to her than Andrade, if that makes it a little bit more clear, like, what I'm trying to say. So, anyways, I kind of went on that rant. It was something that I wanted to talk about. I actually forgot. I didn't write that down to talk about it or anything. It kind of just popped up as we were talking about Charlotte. But we will get back to this Charlotte segment right now. Because, like I said, Shotzi Blackheart comes out and throws her name into the hat, and Charlotte accepts. So we do get that match, like, immediately. Right after this opening segment promo, we get Charlotte versus Shotzi Blackheart. This match was titled as a championship contenders match. So if Shotzi were to win, she would likely get an opportunity at that SmackDown Women's Championship at some time in the near future. Maybe jump the line a little bit with some women who might be ahead of her. But one thing I noticed instantly, it didn't take long to figure this out. If you watch this match, within the first few minutes, you could tell that there was a very obvious lack of in-ring chemistry. Their first match together, so that's expected. There was a botched suicide dive that Shotzi tried to do. She landed outside the ring pretty rough, but, you know, she got back up. She's pretty tough, and went to commercial break. When we got back, you know, they were already going in the ring a little bit. The match itself got better and more entertaining the longer it went on. So you see that they kind of started to get their groove and maybe get a little bit more comfortable with each other's styles. But one thing I will say, and I'm not trying to, you know, just, I mean, we're already 15 minutes into the show and I'm still talking about Charlotte, still talking about this opening segment, but she has an attempt at Andrade's move, and this kind of just adds into what I was saying with her just being absolutely obsessed with him. Is she literally trying to like do his moves in the ring that he does? She's made an Instagram post about this as well, where like they have the moves side by side. It's where he does like that backflip off the top rope. Somebody moves, and like because they're laying flat in the ring, so it would ultimately be like a backflip type of like senton type move, and they roll out of the way, he lands on his feet, and then does an immediate backflip right out, like right after that, as soon as his feet hit the mat. Charlotte does not do it even close to as smooth as him, and I know it's not her move, but if you watch her do it, she's just not as smooth with it, and I mean, that's fine. She has to do like a little bit of a hop step, re-grip, kind of like reset her base, and then do that second backflip. She just needs to work on it a little bit more, but it's just something that I noticed, because I've seen her pull that move out and post it on social media, and kind of just like, brag, ooh, I'm doing, you know, Andrade's move. And I don't know, it was just, if you're going to do it, at least do it right, I guess, is what I should say, or at least polish it up a little bit more. But Flair does end up winning this match with natural selection. Sasha Banks stays out during this entire match. He's kind of cheering for Shotzi on the outside of the ring. I didn't really understand why she decided to stay out there and, like, be on ringside. The fact that she wasn't, like, a guest on commentary, she was standing up outside the ring. It told me, all right, she's going to get involved somehow, but I didn't think that it was going to kind of transpire the way it did, because after this match, Shotzi loses it. Like, she absolutely goes crazy on Sasha and starts beating her senseless, eventually throws her into the tank, and, you know, she's kind of screaming at her, telling her that she ruined her opportunity. She definitely, she sold this. Shotzi did really well. I mean, if you follow her on social media, you see that she's doing, like, that mandatory horror movie night, where like every night she shows that she's watching some type of horror movie, and she tells you which one it is, and she explains what goes on in the movie and things like that. And you could just tell, I mean, she's been watching some scary movies, because her scream, I mean, it was like from the scene from, what's that movie called, it came out like in the mid-2000s, The Exorcism of, was it Emily Rose, something like that. It was definitely an exorcism movie, and that's kind of what it reminded me of, just whenever she was like screaming at the top of her lungs there. But she even hits like a coffin drop whenever she throws Sasha back into the ring, and then she like immediately goes for the pinfall. It's like instinctively, because they weren't in a match. Like, she just hits that coffin drop, and then like she rolls over, and you could tell like she was about to like go for the pinfall. She stops herself, so she doesn't actually cover her, but it was just something that I noticed that she probably did just strictly out of instinct. But in terms of like Charlotte's opening promo in that segment and this match itself, this took up 29 minutes of the show just real time. So 29 minutes, almost one fourth, dedicated to this storyline that's going on with Charlotte. So, I mean, that's Roman Reigns type stuff. That's her getting a lot of airtime. So maybe, I mean, who knows? She might be making her way, taking that top spot from Roman. We'll see, I guess, as things go on. But continuing on here, we get a backstage interview with Caleb Braxton and Jeff Hardy, and Jeff is talking about his excitement to be on SmackDown and face people he's never faced before and go after championships that he's never held before. You know, the only one I could think of is the Universal Championship. I don't think he's going to have a Universal Championship program in his future, certainly not one that he's going to win. I don't know what other championship he doesn't have under his belt already, so that jumped out to me, and I definitely had to write it down. But this interview is interrupted by Corbin and Madcap Moss. And I've kind of crapped on their jokes over the past couple weeks. They've been extremely corny, and this one was corny too. But I will admit, this one kind of made me laugh a little bit. It was a little funny. He asked Jeff Hardy, why don't witches have kids? Because their boyfriends have Halloweenies. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought that whenever he said that, it definitely made me do a little, you know, exhale out of my nose a little bit, have a little chuckle. And I definitely wanted to mention that in case you fast forward through the Madcap Moss and Corbin stuff. I know some people probably do, you know, they really don't want to say that or see that type of stuff, I guess. But Adam Pearce, he appears on the Jumbotron virtually from his office, I'm guessing somewhere not in the arena, and he's addressing Brock Lesnar. That's the whole reason why Adam Pearce even has a segment here on the show. But I will give him credit, he does seem, and it's easier to be this way whenever you're not in the ring with Brock Lesnar in the same arena, but he seems to be more stern, like not just in decision he makes, but like his body language and like his mannerisms. He looked like a guy who wasn't going to take any more, you know what, like, and that's just kind of what I got from it. We'll see if it, you know, can transpire into anything that Adam Pearce actually does, because I mean, it's not going to be believable him getting in a match or anything like that, but maybe he won't be quite the pushover because that's kind of what I took away from this, is that he seemed a little bit more stern. But the whole reason for this is because he says that in addition to Brock Lesnar's suspension, he's actually going to be fined $1 million. And he had major Dr. Evil vibes. I know that Amanda Jin and DJ Kuzmo kind of talked about that on Twitter. I thought that was hilarious, because I actually thought that exact same thing. And I watched SmackDown after them. I was a little bit delayed. But whenever I saw that, it was the first thing I thought about. I'm a huge Austin Powers fan. Those are some funny, funny movies. But that's all that Adam Pearce says. The screen goes away, and we see that Paul Heyman was shown watching backstage. And then he's approached by Caleb Braxton, who asks him about the way Brock Lesnar reacted and so on. Like, if he knows why Brock reacted the way he did in terms of, like, flipping out and things like that. And he almost goes into, like, quote-unquote advocate mode. And he channels his former role representing Brock. He kind of goes, like, he stops himself mid-sentence. He's, like, really getting into it. If you watch this, you kind of caught your eye as well. And sometimes, I don't know, like, these backstage interviews, I'm not going to always put those in the show. Like, if they're not meaningful, where either a seed was planted or something that kind of ties into something that happened later in the show, or starts something that happened later in the show, the backstage interviews with Caleb Braxton and whoever, they're not mandatory that they're going to be in the show. So if I do put a backstage interview in the show, then it's likely because I thought something that happened there was noteworthy. But Paul does look pretty flustered here after he kind of realizes, oh crap, I was just basically acting like my old self here. I hope Roman Reigns and the Usos didn't see that. But I mean, it was just something that I kind of had to hope you guys caught on to that as well. But anyways, let's continue on here in the show. Next, we get an open challenge from Drew McIntyre. And this is where, I mean, I'm going to provide a little bit of audio in case you didn't hear. I want you to hear what Mustafa Ali said here in this segment, because he's the one who accepts the open challenge, but the match is like, what, 4 minutes long. He taps out to the Kimura lock relatively quickly, and it was not a long match whatsoever. But I do want you guys to hear what Mustafa had to say after the match. After that, he gets booed out of the building. I mean, you guys heard that, and he actually went to Twitter and said, they're mad about what I said, but listen to how they reacted. He says that, I mean, he's basically saying that he's not the bad guy here, and I know he's not. I know that he's probably told to say that. He's being put in that position. So it's, I don't know. I mean, I really don't even want to touch this one. I mean, if you watch wrestling back in the Ruthless Aggression era, a much less sensitive time, there was something similar to this with Muhammad Hassan. Maz actually done this in a nostalgia episode. So he's actually had this topic talked about in length. So go search it and go find it, because it's worth it having a whole episode basically just going in depth to this. But it's not a good decision, I could tell you that right now. I mean, I don't really know what the point is, what the motive is behind this. I feel like I'm not the only person who feels like they're going this direction with this angle, like they're taking that foreigner and you guys don't like me because of my heritage or things like that. You take it for however you want. That's just kind of what I got from it. I provided the audio so you can decide for yourself. And it's just, I don't know. It's like I said, it's not a good idea. I'm not really going to go too much further into it. We'll see what they do. I'll be paying attention next time I hear Ali's music for sure. But continuing on here in the show, we get another backstage little thing, and this is just a quick one because I see Xavier and Kofi, they're interacting with Hit Row backstage, and the way that they were interacting, kind of the things they were saying and their vibe, I guess if you want to say that, they were definitely coming off as baby faces. So I'll go ahead and say that right there. I know it was kind of up in the air. Are they heel? Are they baby face? We really don't know. Someone made the suggestion that maybe WWE is just kind of going with it and seeing which one, you know, gets hot first, and they're going to roll with that one. Makes total sense. It looks like babyface might be the direction they start with, because they didn't like do anything heel yet in terms of like the New Day. I thought, all right, they're kind of joking around with the New Day. They're going to go out to the ring and have this whole ceremony thing. This would be a perfect opportunity for Hit Row to go out there and crash that and get in a program with the New Day, start them off hot right there with, you know, an experienced team. And that would have told you right there kind of, you know, where WWE views them in terms of like the totem pole. But we'll have to wait for them to get an actual program, because this is all we see of Hit Row tonight. So I guess we will just see what happens next with those guys. I mean, I really still don't have that great of an opinion. I still think their segment last week was extremely corny. Matt and others used choreographed. That's another word to say it. I still think that it was corny no matter what. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel about that one. I'm a little bit not necessarily on Hit Row's bandwagon just yet. But next we do get that King Woods segment where he knights Kofi and he calls him the Hand of the King. And then he gives him what seems to be like a unicorn medallion. I mean, I don't really know what else you would call that thing. It kind of looked like those things that they would give the Power Rangers back in the day, you know, whether it like went on their belt, I think it was. I can't really remember. I used to be a Power Rangers fan, but I haven't seen it in years, so I don't really know when or where they would put those things. But one of them was like a pterodactyl. One of them was like a T-Rex, you know, kind of had their animal or whatever it was that they were. And or Kofi Kingston had a unicorn on his, so I did. That's kind of what it reminded me of, and they did have their Power Ranger gear earlier in the year, so maybe they're making a little bit of a reference there. I'm not really sure, but the Usos do us all a favor, and they come out and they interrupt this nonsense. It was not an entertaining segment before that. It told me right away, this is kind of like that Aleister Black stuff where he was getting into that, the Tale of the Dark Father, that book stuff that just really, it wasn't clicking with me. It was very hard for me like to stay interested whenever I would see those promos and those little vignettes. I feel like this is going to be kind of up that same alley where anytime that we get King Woods, which is what they're calling him, it's not King Xavier or anything like that, it is King Woods, because I don't know, I'm not really into this type of stuff. They've done the King stuff way too often, like especially here recently. Like, we haven't gotten a break since the last King of the Ring, since Baron Corbin became King Corbin. We have not gotten a break from the King gimmick, and it's just old at this point. It's really, you know, just completely making the whole King of the Ring thing feel irrelevant. That could be something, you know, in of itself that's almost, I mean, it could be its own pay-per-view, because I think it might have been Amanda Jen as well. She announced the WWE lineup for pay-per-views next year, and she mentioned one that's, I forgot what it's called exactly, but it was definitely something that I was like, are you kidding me? Probably something along the lines of like Grey Balls of Fire. That was a beautiful pay-per-view, wasn't it? But the Usos come out and they make a Halloween joke by saying that the New Day is playing dress up, you know, dressing like kings and whatnot. Funny little thing to point out there, but a match is announced here because things get a little bit physical between the Usos in the ring, as you'd expect, and that match ends up becoming the main event. But up next, we get the Trick or Street fight between Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin or Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. And the 24/7 crowd makes an appearance here in this segment, which is rare. I hardly ever see the 24/7 title on SmackDown. Really, the only time that we did see it, and I'm not even sure if these two eras intertwine, was whenever Reggie was on SmackDown frequently with Nia Jax. Was he the 24/7 champion yet? I don't think he was. I don't think he really got into that 24/7 picture until Nia Jax was already, you know, done with him. But either way, I don't see this very often on SmackDown. I can't remember the last time I saw the 24/7 crowd run in the middle of a match, but that is what happened. Just kind of to add to the chaos that was going on here, ended up being a really entertaining, fast-paced, hardcore type of match. All kinds of weapons and artifacts got involved in this one, including a station where you would seemingly bob for apples. That's what it was right in front of Pat McAfee and Michael Cole on the commentary table. Speaking of Pat, he actually almost got Michael Cole to pop during this match, which is probably hard to do. As professional as Michael Cole is, probably just, you know, rock solid in terms of like not being able to break him while he's on character or whenever he's in character and like on air. But he did almost get Cole to laugh because Moss put a pumpkin on Shinsuke Nakamura's head. And he said like, oh, it's dark in there. You know, there's no candle. It's an absolute horror show. And then, like, there was, like, a few seconds of silence, and he said, with an H. Like, just, you know, to clear it up, what type of horror show he's talking about. You guys get that one, or hopefully you do. It was definitely a little funny thing from Pat. Every now and then, if you listen to some of the stuff he says, I mean, there's some people probably who have no idea what he's talking about. They probably wish he would shut up a little bit. But if you're familiar with some of his little, you know, clever references that he likes to make, it is hilarious, and I definitely enjoy that, and I will enjoy that for as long as he's there. But anyways, Madcap Moss does end up winning this. He pins Rick Boogs, and after, or because these two ghouls come out, I guess is what they were called, and they're wearing like Halloween costumes. Like they kind of definitely come out and they interfere, and they're the reason why Nakamura and Boogs end up losing here. But they end up unmasking, and it's Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. I thought that was a little bit strange. Like, it didn't really make sense to me why those two came out to interfere. I mean, are they trying to set up something with them and Boogs and Nakamura? It would have made more sense if it was like a tag team, given that they're probably going to be inserted into the tag team division. So that was a little bit questionable, to say the least. But, I mean, we'll go with it. It wasn't something that I felt like was necessary in this type of match. There was just a lot of stuff. This match was like 75 to 80 miles an hour from the jump. Like, there was no going slow, easing up into it the entire time. Like, within seconds of the match, the 24/7 stuff got involved. So this one was just balls to the wall at all times. But continuing on here, and we're almost finished. This is kind of where things start to get a little interesting, I guess you can say, with Sonya Deville. And she has a little bit of a backstage interview, and she's asked if there's a bias against Naomi. And she begins to say no, but she's interrupted by Sami Zayn, and he comes out and he starts saying stuff about, you know, being like the longest tenured member of SmackDown, the elder statesman is what he says. But this segment itself just got like interrupted by, it was cut short by Naomi's entrance. They just like stopped the camera while Sami was in the middle of a sentence. I thought that was weird. It's kind of just something that I just kind of wrote down here. I wasn't sure if you guys noticed that too, but the segment just kind of got shut off. I wasn't sure if that was supposed to happen like that, if there was anything that Sami was about to say. But anyways, the next thing here is a match between Naomi and Shayna Baszler. And the match is supposed to start, except there's one problem. There's no referee. And Sonya comes out to kind of clear things up a little bit. And she says that the referee who was supposed to officiate this match was actually a casualty during the Brock Lesnar rampage last week. So there's only one person, in her opinion, who's qualified enough and fair enough to step in, take the place, and officiate this match. And you guessed it, it is herself. Sonya Deville is the special guest referee, and she does the typical heel ref stuff. She doesn't count for Naomi when Naomi has her in the pinfall, and then counts extremely fast for Shayna. And the match is over really before it even gets started, and Naomi gets in Sonya's face, but's quickly neutralized by Shayna's Karafuta clutch. So Sonya Deville, if she's not going to be an actual full-time in-ring competitor, which Naomi has a little bit of a backstage interview herself after this match, where she says, she actually mentions she wants Sonya to take the tie off or whatever and actually, you know, get in this heel or get in an in-ring role. So they're talking about it. Like, wrestlers are actually talking about it in their promos. So it's not just like it's us fans speculating, us podcasters saying, oh, come on, Sonya, get back in the ring. What are you doing wasting yourself there as an official role? Well, we might get what we want, because I think that they are listening. It's just going to come slowly. She's slowly starting to get worked back into this thing, and I am all for it. I love a slow burn. But the last thing that happens here on the show is the New Day versus the Usos. It's the main event quality. Nothing really came from it, though. Like, there wasn't anything. It was just like a straight-up match with a clean winner. And, I mean, I guess as clean as you can get. I mean, Woods pulls Jimmy off, because, like, Jimmy hits, like, a move on Kofi Kingston. And as you guys know, brilliant tag team wrestling. Xavier Woods kind of sneaks the tag in. He becomes the legal man without Jimmy Uso knowing. So Jimmy's covering Kofi. And Xavier Woods goes over there and pulls Jimmy off and then rolls him up. So the match ended in a roll-up, despite being, like, a really good, like, 10-plus-minute match to close out SmackDown. It ended in a roll-up. So you're going to get one of those, at least one, throughout the show. And I guess, why not have it in this one? But like I said, there was no consequences to this or anything like that. It was just simply the Usos losing to the New Day. And we've seen it happen dozens and dozens of times. Does this maybe get them at the front of the line for a championship match? But, I mean, why not make this match a championship contenders match then? Because isn't that kind of the same thing? Does them beating them in a quote-unquote non-championship contenders match, just a regular match qualified to get them a number one contendership opportunity? You see how they're kind of making these waters a little bit muddy here? We don't really know what to expect. Just know that championship opportunities are likely going to be handed out, and you really don't have to earn them. These contender matches are just a little fancy title on a match that we all know is going to end with somebody catapulting themselves, or at least better positioning themselves for a championship opportunity. It's not rocket science, but anyways, thank you guys so much. That's all I have for you here on the SmackDown review. It is a little bit delayed. I do apologize for that. I really do hate getting these episodes in on Saturday instead of Friday, but sometimes it works out like that. I mean, where I live in Texas, the fall is an absolute nightmare. I mean, the leaves right now are just going crazy. I could send you guys some pictures in terms of like the Discord server if you're a Patreon. If you want to see that, let me know, because I definitely have some pictures of properties that are just ridiculous from some of the leaves that we have to clean up, and we're just getting started into the fall, so not looking forward to what's coming. This is a really busy season where I work, but anyways, I hope that next week will be a little bit easier. Maybe I can get it dropped on Friday. That'd be ideal. It's definitely what I want to do, but sometimes I feel like because like how much work that we do on Friday and then watching the show, and by the time it's over, sometimes I'm like a little bit exhausted almost, where I feel like, would it be worth it to get the episode done tonight and be somewhat tired? Or would it be worth it to, you know, wait till in the morning and do it whenever I'm more energized and have a little bit more time to think about what happened and things like that? But it's at the same time, it's going to be, you know, a little bit later. So it's kind of like there's pros and cons to each. Like, it gives you a little bit more time to sit on it and kind of digest what happens. And opposed to that, on the other side of the coin, if you get it in immediately, the listeners get it faster. So sometimes it works out. I love whenever it's an episode where I can just immediately hop on. I'm not behind. I don't have anything going on that Friday night where I could just watch SmackDown as soon as it's over. I can hop on and do this with you guys. So definitely hope that that is what we do going forward. But you guys know how it is. Sometimes you do not get to control that. And it's not fun being an adult and having real responsibilities. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this show. If you are a first-time listener, thank you for choosing this podcast and devoting, what is this, like 40-plus minutes to it by now. I definitely appreciate that. If you are a regular listener, you know the drill. Thank you so much for making this part of your weekly routine. I'll definitely be back next week talking about SmackDown and everything that happened. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you guys all have a great rest of your weekend. Hope you all have a great week until the next time I speak to you, which will be next Friday. So walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.